a glorious time. The day I met Jesus, I was his and he's mine. Blinded eyes are now open, I can see the light of day.
What a great
that I knelt in an altar and accepted Christ as my Savior. Amen. And I, you know, I'm just as saved tonight as I was all those years ago, Brother Larry. And I'm glad to know that when I got up, I knew that there had been a change made in my life. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer tonight and ask him to be with us. We look forward to a great service. We have a conference immediately to follow. So been a great day in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Father, we love you and praise you and thank you, Lord, for what we've been able to experience here in this place today. Thank you for the message this morning, the messenger, for the moving of your Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for a beautiful day that you've given us and, Lord, the opportunity we have now to be able to come back in the service here this evening. Pray, Lord, be with our pastor. Lord, be in our business meeting to follow. Lord, you know exactly what is needed here at Calvary. Lord, we just want to follow your will and follow your way for this next coming year. And Lord, we pray that you just give us great days to come. Thank you again for the opportunity we have of being here tonight. Now, Lord, accept our worship and our praise, and again, be with our pastor. We'll praise you. We'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, would you stand and join me? I don't know if Brother David was peeking over my shoulder, but I had already turned to that song tonight that says, I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. Everyone sing together now.
I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. Telling the world that Jesus saves me today. Yes, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. And
you can be seated. I want to thank the choir for a choir practice this afternoon. We met here at 4. We're very excited to learn some new songs. So you pray for us. It's a little bit of a challenge sometimes, but we had a great, great day today, and we're very thankful for it. We'd just like to take just a moment. You know, this coming Thursday is Veterans Day, and we would like to recognize you here tonight. If you men, ladies alike, if you have served our great country and you are a veteran, Would you please stand so we can recognize you here tonight?
Thank you very much. Thank you for your service to our great country.
We still live in a land that we love, and we're very thankful for the country that we have. We need to continue to pray for those that are still in harm's way, I'm sure. Some still fighting for our country. And so you please remember all those that are on foreign fields and trying their best to do what they can to keep us safe. And we're very thankful for that. But let's, again, go to the Lord in a word of prayer tonight and ask God's blessing on the service as well as the offering. Brother Don, would you lead us tonight as we pray?
Preachers, and bless our ears that we can hear what you're trying to tell us. be back tonight in God's house. Hope you've had a great day today. And any day that we're alive is a great day. We do have conference here after service, and our conference itself won't last long at all. And so we do want to be mindful of that. And being on the threshold of a brand new week, and folks have school and work, and so we're going to remember that as well. Go ahead and make your way tonight to Romans chapter number 1. Romans 1. I want to read a verse here in just a few moments out of verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16 in just a few moments. Tonight, I want to talk about a subject that has the power to influence and change lives. The subject matter tonight is a precious and delicate subject to each that know Jesus as their Savior. If this particular thing is ever squandered or not cared for or held loosely, people will have a hard time taking us seriously or even listening to what we have to say. And I guess it's been some time ago I spoke on this subject, but I want to speak about it tonight a little bit differently. And that is the subject of a testimony. A testimony. In fact, I want to talk about three things about a testimony. What is a testimony? What does it mean? Basically, a testimony is a declaration of one's faith. Also, a testimony is telling your side of the story. It's also your experience. And we can have, or you can have, we all could have many kinds of testimonies that is actually not related to Christ. In a courtroom, there's testimonies given. And witnesses of certain accounts, and they have to get up on the stand and testify of their side of the story. But tonight, when it comes to Jesus and it comes to our own personal stories, we all have a testimony to share. We all have our own experience. We're telling our side of the story. And let me just say that we should take in public every opportunity to share our faith and to share our testimony, our experience of grace, and not be ashamed of the gospel. Romans chapter number 1, notice how Paul testifies. In verse number 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews, or to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Now Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." What is the "it" he's talking about? It is the gospel he's talking about. And he says that the gospel is powerful. In fact, the word "power" in the Greek here, it means dunamis. It means dynamite. And so Paul is saying that, how can I ever be ashamed of the gospel that has changed my life? And you know the story of Paul's personal testimony, how that he was going to persecute Christians and he had letters of consent. And Paul actually being the one who consented unto the stoning of Stephen. And yet the Lord showed himself to Paul that day on the road to Damascus. And Paul, as the song says, he seen the light. It was a bright light that shined. And not only did Paul see the light, but he heard some things. It was Jesus. Paul, why dost thou kick the pricks? Or it's hard to kick the pricks. In essence, is what Jesus went on to say. Paul trying to crucify those who and punish those who are following Jesus. And so Paul, his life was changed. He said, "Lord, what shall I do for you?" And we see that Paul here, he's saying that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God that saves someone. It is the dunamis. It's the dynamite. The gospel is. And tonight we all have our own stories, don't we? Of how the Lord has changed your life. And we all have different testimonies of how God came to us and spoke to us, and we answered his call for salvation. And so tonight I want to mention three things when it comes to a testimony. Three simple things, and I hope it'll be a blessing and a help to you as it was to me. Number one, the first thing we see about a testimony is that a testimony is personal. Testimonies are personal. We all have our own personal testimonies of how we came to the Lord in salvation. Some tonight could give their testimony of a very rough past, while others tonight could give their story of a good past. It's just your story, how you came to the Lord in salvation. Some have rough pasts and some have good pasts. While some were raised in church, others may have never been to church. Yet the Lord paid you a special visit, and that's where you trusted him for salvation. And so testimonies are personal. Let me say that whether you have a rough past or a good past, whether you were raised in church or whether you were not raised in church, all of these must be saved. Those that were raised in church, those that were not raised in church, all must be saved. And when they do, they have their own personal testimonies. Now, not one person in their testimony is greater than the other person in their testimony. While it's amazing to have a testimony of a rough past and how God has reached his hand down and pulled somebody out of the mire, it's also amazing to have a testimony of being raised in church your whole life and not having wrecked and ruined your life as many have. Somebody said one time, "Well, Brother Justin, I don't have a testimony like you do." I said, "Oh, you have a testimony. And everybody's testimony is different. Your testimony is you never got out into this world and wrecked your life with drugs and alcohol." I like the song by the Old Pass, and I guess it was one of their first albums, and it says, I missed out. I missed out on the heartaches of living in sin. I missed out on all of those things the writer Tim talks about in that song. And I guess it was Tim who was talking about being raised in a pastor's home and some things that maybe the world was saying, "Oh, you're missing out, Tim. Oh, you're missing out on all of these things." And so whether Tim wrote the song or not, the song says, "I have truly missed out, but not in the sense that you're thinking." You know, those of us who were, or those who were raised in church your whole life, you have missed out. You've missed out on all of the heartaches of living in this world of sin. And so everybody has a testimony, whether it's rough or whether it's not so rough. I think about a few different people and their personal testimonies. I think about the woman at the well in John chapter number 4, verse number 28 down through verse number 30. The woman at the well, that's when she left her water pot. She left her water pot and she went to tell others about Jesus. It was a very personal experience she had with Jesus there at the well. What about the blind man in John chapter number 9 in verse 25? He was born blind from his birth. He could not see. And then there came a day when he had an encounter with Jesus. And what did the Lord do out of all things? The Lord spat upon the ground and he made a spittle. He made a little mud pie. And then he anointed the eyes of the blind man. What? Wait a minute, Lord. Why in the world would the Lord do such a thing? Well, it's part of this blind man's testimony. How he came to Christ and he could not see his entire life, yet the Lord made a spittle and anointed his eyes. And this is just my take on that account. The blind man was in his own situation for all those years. But when Jesus anointed his eyes, it caused an urgency to go wash his eyes. It caused an aggravation, if you will, this blind man. He was living his life, and yes, he could not see, and he was in his situation, and yet the Lord came by and aggravated him. And what happened? He went to the pool of Siloam, and he washed his eyes, and he was able to see. You see, that's his personal testimony. And sometimes in life, when we need to move, sometimes in life when we need to make a decision and go with it, sometimes the Lord, he has a way of aggravating our situation. I love the story of the eagles. And I know that in Exodus and Deuteronomy, it talks about the eagles a good bit. And there's a certain time when a mother eagle, just in nature within itself in the animal kingdom, when that mother eagle knows it's time for those eaglets to leave the nest. They have been in the nest a while, and now it's time for them to leave the nest. And so what does that mother eagle do? Well, she hovers over them. She broods over them. And then she starts to move in that nest and she starts to make them uncomfortable. That nest is woven together and put together with sticks and all kinds of things in the woods. And so whenever those eaglets start moving around, they get poked and prodded. And this mother eagle knows exactly what she's doing. She gets those eaglets to the end of the nest and then she... It's an attempt to push them out of the nest because she knows that it's time for them to learn and take flying lessons. So what I'm saying tonight is there's times in life where God, he stirs our nest. There's times in life where he anoints our eyes with mud, so to speak, and he agitates things in our lives so that it might move us to a decision. Sometimes God stirs the nest. Sometimes God does things that we may not think is necessarily the right way, or maybe there's another way of doing things. But this blind man, he had a testimony. He was blind, but when his eyes were anointed with mud, it motivated him to go wash. But what about the demonic man of Gadara? He had a personal testimony. He was a demonic man. He was a demon. He was possessed. He was living in the graveyard. He was night and day, the scriptures say. He was crying and cutting himself with stones. This man was going crazy. But then one day Jesus came along, and you know the story. He came upon the shore, and we know this maniac man of Gadara met Jesus. And a long story short, this man, he gave his life to Christ. Those demons were cast out of this man, and he was sitting and he was clothed in his right mind. Personal testimony. You may not have a testimony like this maniac man. You may not have a testimony so graphic as this blind man, or you may not have a testimony like this woman at the well, but you have a testimony. Everybody in here has a testimony. So tonight, a testimony is personal. Number two, second thing about a testimony, not only testimonies are personal, but testimonies are powerful. A personal testimony can reach others because life stories are powerful, especially if Jesus is part of them. Some people you may witness to and tell Jesus about may have a bad view of church and may never go to church if you invite them and say, hey, you must be born again, which is the truth. But if you give them your testimony and you tell them your background and where you're from and what happened in your life, they have a better chance, I think, in some cases at least, of coming to church. Some won't listen to the gospel, but they will listen to what you have to say because testimonies are powerful. Now, turn over to John chapter number 4 for a moment. John chapter number 4. Verse number 39. Listen to this. The woman at the well, again, the Lord changed her life and she became a Christian. And in John chapter number 4 and verse number 39, listen what happened after her experience with Christ. It was a very powerful experience. John 4 and verse number 39. The Bible says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. And so she shared her testimony. Hey guys, I was sitting by this well and minding my own business. I came to the well and I met this man and he told me everything I ever did. And she was persuaded that this was the Christ. Look back up in verse number 29. She says, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And so she has this testimony and she goes into the city and she tells others, and many believe on his name because of her testimony. Have you shared your testimony in a while? Not just in church, but in public. Have you taken advantage of the harvest that is plenteous in the day and time in which we live? It may be at Walmart. It may be through a drive-thru. Have you shared your testimony? This woman, she shared her testimony. Many believed. But look at verse number 40 and 41. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And so there were some who believed by her testimony, but then they heard the words of God, their very self, through Christ. And they said, look, we trusted the Lord for our salvation, not from what you said, but from what he said. What a blessing that is. What a powerful testimony she had that started a trickle effect, a ripple effect, and others were getting saved. Tonight, testimonies are powerful. Again, the maniac man of Gadara and the powerful result from the converts and from the converts of that city. They had testimonies. Listen to what it says in Mark 5:20. The Bible says, after he went to Decapolis and told everyone how the Lord had changed his life, the Bible says, and all men did marvel. They marveled. The word marvel means to admire. It means to be in wonder. They marveled at his story. When he would say, guys, you won't believe what happened. I was living in the cemetery. I was living in the graveyard. And I was so discouraged and I was so depressed and I was crying and cutting myself and it seemed like there was no hope for me. But one day Jesus passed by. Jesus passed by and I came to him and I fell at his feet and worshiped him. And then he was sitting and clothed in his right mind and many people were scared because of how calm and collected he was. All men did marvel. Listen, that is the power of a personal testimony, how that it can affect people drastically. What about Dansby Swanson? Go ahead and throw it up, guys. What about Dansby Swanson? I was going to get the Braves in here at some point today. Dansby Swanson and his voice has been heard. Wouldn't you agree? In this picture, this is one of the interviews. I heard it on one of the games at the end. He says, God's always got a plan. Having faith in that plan will never fail you. How about that? Just a powerful testimony, short testimony. Just a short way of sharing your faith. And let me just say, almost at every end of every game in the postseason, I heard, about said Brother Dansby, yeah, Brother Dansby, say something about the Lord and how that God has put him with the Braves at this particular time in his life for a purpose. He said he couldn't understand it at the moment, which I find hard to understand since he's a Marietta boy. But a personal testimony, and Dansby is definitely letting it be heard, and many people are hearing it. So go Braves. What about Julio Franco? I don't have no picture for him. Anybody remember Julio Franco on the Braves a long time ago? He had that crazy batting stance. I can remember going to a couple Braves games in Atlanta Fulton County Stadium, and Julio Franco would come out, and he would have a certain song played when he would come to the plate. He changed them during his career, but one of the songs was by Twyla Paris called God is in Control. That goes back a little ways. Twyla Paris. Loud and through the stadium it would ring, God is in control. He was being a witness. He was, in so many ways, he was testifying that God is in charge of his life. I thank God for those sports figures that give their testimony in little ways when they can, because they're making a statement that God is the Lord of my life. I can imagine what they contend with in the sports field, in the sports arena, living a life of sports with all of the money and, of course, the things that come along with that, the after parties. Look, alcohol, drugs has been in sports and the fame and pride and ego and all of that, yet God has some on that platform, as big as it is, that give praise to him by sharing their testimony. So we see tonight when it comes to a testimony is personal, a testimony is powerful, but then lastly tonight, a testimony is precious. Ecclesiastes 7, in verse number 1, the Bible says, a good name is better than precious ointment. A good name is better than precious ointment. Can I say tonight that the Christian must protect their testimony? Because the moment that a person forfeits or loses their testimony, they lose their influence. And it's very hard to recover, if not impossible, your testimony. Guys, we got one shot at it. That's all we have. That's all we have. And if we're truly saved and we're about kingdom business, we would guard our testimonies. Matthew 7:6 says, don't cast your pearls before the swine. Guard the things that are holy in your life. Live a life for Jesus and protect your relationship with Him. Don't give away your precious godly pearls in exchange for this world. Don't do it. No matter what your story is or how miraculous God has changed your life now, Satan wants to destroy it in the end. And he will destroy it if we let him destroy it. A testimony is precious. Guard your testimonies tonight. A testimony is powerful. Tell your testimony. A testimony is personal. We all have our own personal testimonies and stories tonight. And so let us always be ready to give our testimony. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for reaching down and saving us. God, help us always be careful for the things that we hear, the things that we see, the things that we say, knowing that there's other ears and other eyes that are listening and watching. Lord, we care tonight about our influence because it's for you. Lord, help us to just guard our testimonies, live a life that's well-pleasing to you. Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for all that you do and for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.